This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Nixing the 3D gun. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akea on this Wednesday, August 1st. And here's what we have for you this hour.
A federal judge in Seattle has blocked the release of software that allows consumers to 3D print firearms.
An Aeromexico airliner has crashed in the northern Durango state of Mexico, and miraculously, no one was killed.
New wildfires and more evacuations hit California with nearly 20,000 homes under threat and 44,000 residents forced to evacuate.
And there are more women than ever running for Congress, but a lot of Republican women are scrapping the gender card.
They don't like to play identity politics, as they called it, while running for Congress. Some of these women candidates who could be the first women to represent their states, in some cases in the Senate, for example, have said that while they like the idea that they could break a barrier this way, it's not really a focus of their campaign.
Caitlin Huey Burns of Real Clear Politics will be here in about 10 minutes with that story. A federal judge in Washington state has issued a temporary restraining order to block blueprints for 3D printed guns from being distributed online. The ruling comes in response to legal action by eight states seeking to block a pro-gun group, Defense Distributed, from posting the files. The State Department had included the design files on a list of munitions subject to export controls, barring their distribution. But the department in June reversed its position and allowed the files to be posted, prompting an outcry from gun control groups and Democratic lawmakers who say the files will enable individuals to avoid background checks by using 3D printers to make guns at home. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says these files are nothing new.
At least since the year 2013, these CAD files, these computer-assisted design files, have been available online. They've been legal for U.S. citizens to actually download these CAD designs for quite some time now.
Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey says 3D gun printing doesn't make sense.
The country has a gun violence problem. It has a mass shooting problem. It has a suicide problem. And now it has a do-it-yourself downloadable guns that will supercharge this crisis and lead to more senseless tragedies.
Defense Distributed says 3D printed guns would represent the total liberation of access to firearms. Dozens of people were injured when an Aeromexico jet crashed right after takeoff in Mexico's state of Durango yesterday, but miraculously, there were no fatalities. This morning's Mike Gavin has a story.
The mid-sized jet was almost full with 103 people on board when it crashed. TV images showed the severely damaged body of the plane after it came to rest in scrubland and a column of smoke rose into the sky. The plane had barely taken off when it may have been hit by a strong air current. The plane's left wing hit the ground, knocking off two engines before it came to a halt more than 300 yards from the runway. Passengers were able to escape on the plane's emergency slides before it was engulfed in flames. The pilot was the most severely hurt, but is in stable condition. Jen.
Thanks, Mike. Facebook says it has identified a new coordinated political influence campaign to mislead its users and sow dissension among voters ahead of November's congressional elections. Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg says the company removed 32 pages and accounts from Facebook and Instagram, part of an effort to combat foreign meddling in U.S. elections.
This kind of behavior is not allowed on Facebook because we don't want organizations or individuals creating networks of accounts that mislead people about who they are or what they're doing.
The company stopped short of identifying the source of the misinformation, but members of Congress who had been briefed by Facebook on the matter say the methodology of the influence campaign suggests Russian involvement. And Facebook's head of cybersecurity, Nathaniel Gleischer, says this rogue network went to great lengths to hide its identity.
We do not have enough technical evidence to state definitively who is behind this, but we can say that these accounts engaged in some similar activity and have connected with known IRA accounts.
IRA, standing for Russia's Internet Research Agency, Moscow has denied involvement. It's 11 minutes after the hour.
We'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Untuck It. You know, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long and not too short. It's just right. And not only do they look good, they feel great. And if you're a woman, by the way, wishing you can have one of these, well, Untuck It now makes shirts for women, too. Log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code GORDONDEAL for 20% off your entire purchase. You can also visit one of Untuck It's over 25 retail locations across the country. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code GORDONDEAL for 20% savings. Again, untuckit.com and use the promo code GORDONDEAL for 20% savings.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. We know there are more women running than ever for Congress this year. And while many Democratic women have been fueled by the Donald Trump era and the Me Too movement, the GOP contenders aren't playing up gender on the campaign trail. Caitlin Huey Burns has written a piece for Real Clear Politics called Female GOP Candidates Eschew the Gender Card and joins us now. Caitlin, why are female Republican candidates not focusing on gender issues?
Well, for a couple of different reasons. First, we have seen this surge in women candidates across the spectrum, but we've seen it even more on the Democratic side than on the Republican side, and there are a few different reasons for that. Number one, according to strategists and operatives and candidates themselves that I've talked to, they note that there has been a long disparity between Republicans and Democrats in terms of infrastructure geared towards recruiting and helping and fundraising for women candidates. We've seen that a lot on the Democratic side. And number one, this time around is the idea that Donald Trump and the Me Too era is really fueling women on the Democratic side. And so that creates some challenges for Republican women running this cycle. A couple of candidates I talked to noted that are running on the Republican side noted that they don't like to play the gender card, as they called it. They don't like to play identity politics, as they called it, while running for Congress. And so some of these women candidates who could be the first women to represent their states in some cases in the Senate, for example, have said that while they like the idea that they could break a barrier this way, it's not really a focus of their campaign. Instead, they want to focus on the issues.
Caitlin, one of those women you just referenced, Marsha Blackburn, likely to become the Republican nominee for senator in Tennessee, is kind of eschewing the gender card. What is she running on?
Well, she is running as a top ally of President Trump. She is very close with him, has made clear that she would be an ally of his in the Senate. She has long represented Tennessee as a U.S. Congresswoman. In fact, when she was elected to that post in the early 2000s, she was the first woman to go to Congress from Tennessee who did not succeed her husband in office. So she has recognized that she has broken some barriers, and she talked to me about ways in which she is encouraging women to get into politics. But she also is very supportive of this president, supportive of his policies, and welcomes his endorsement and welcomes his ideas in her state. It's very different, though, in Tennessee compared to other places, because Trump is still very popular in Tennessee. It's a traditional Republican state. He won it pretty handily in 2016. So for a candidate like Blackburn, it makes sense for her to run as an ally of Trump, even though she's a woman candidate. In some other places, it's a little bit more difficult.
We're speaking with Caitlin Huey Burns of Real Clear Politics. In those states that aren't heavily Trump country, are the women who are running getting away from the Trump message at all?
It really depends on the district and the state. So, for example, in Arizona, which has never sent a woman to the U.S. Senate before, and will likely do so given that the candidates on both sides are women, it's going to be really interesting to see what the Trump effect will be. Arizona is a state that the president won by just 3 points. It's a state that's really changing demographically towards the Democrats. And so you have the women candidates on the Republican side, Martha McSally, a current congresswoman who was the first female combat, first woman to fly in a combat mission and in the Air Force. And you have Kelly Ward, who's a physician, both vying for the Republican primary. And that's not until the end of August. And so in a Republican primary, the goal is really to endear yourself to Trump and motivate base voters and then try to attack a little bit more moderately during the general election. That'll be kind of difficult.
That's Caitlin Huey Burns from Real Clear Politics. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Jen, with hours to spare, Seattle U.S. District Judge Robert Lasnik blocked the release of downloadable blueprints for untraceable 3D printed guns. Florida Democratic Senator Bill Nelson says every gun should get picked up by metal detectors.
If you're going to produce a gun, it has to have a metal part. A metal part, number one, for detection, but number two, also to carry the serial number. But of course, these kind of guns won't carry a serial number.
Several states sued to halt publication of designs to make weapons that security screening may not detect. Facebook says it's removed 32 accounts and pages it believes were created to influence the midterm elections in November. The social network said in a blog the culprits worked harder to cover their tracks than a Russia-based campaign to disrupt the 2016 presidential vote and its investigations at a very early stage. Jurors picked, opening arguments made, and the government called its first witness in the bank and tax fraud trial of President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, in Virginia federal court. Prosecutors say they'll prove Manafort made more than $60 million in unreported income consulting for a Russia-backed political party in Ukraine. 15 serious wildfires still burning throughout California, scorching more than 280,000 acres across the Golden State. The LA Times report says of last night, 12,300 firefighters on the lines battling infernos that have taken the lives of four of their own, two in the Ferguson fire weeks apart and two in the Carr fire. Senators from both parties questioned Trump administration immigration officials about the separation of migrant families and reports of sexual harassment. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley.
No child should be used as a pawn, subjected to sexual assault, extreme heat, or other, and also criminal behavior by smugglers or traffickers seeking to make a buck on behalf of the most vulnerable.
Of the more than 2,500 children separated from their families, Grassley says around 700 are still in government custody and unable to be reunited. Women's Health Magazine's September editions and its second annual Global Naked issue surveyed 18,000 readers around the world to understand how women perceive body image acceptance and confidence. Those who say they're accepting of their body are primarily in Brazil, Latin America, Russia, and Poland. But readers who give a higher rating of happy-ish with their bodies are from the UK, Western Europe, Japan, the Middle East, and the US. We're happy-ish, Jen.
Happy-ish?
About our bodies.
All right, I have no comment on that.
Happy-ish.
Accepting or happy-ish. Thanks, Rasa, I think.
Well, it isn't that today's workers are unprepared for retirement. It's that they need to be much better prepared than earlier generations because they face far longer retirements. That's a contention of Jonathan Clements, founder of HumbleDollar.com and former personal finance columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Jonathan, you say there are key financial trends that most people expect, but maybe they will never happen. Where are we in the stock market?
So for the past 30 years, my entire career writing about money, people have been expecting stock market valuations to return to what we think of as average valuations. For instance, if you look at the market's price-earnings ratio based on trailing 12-month reported earnings, the 100-year average is 16.5. Pretty much my entire investing career, we've been above 16.5 times trailing 12-month reported earnings, which means that to get back to something that looks like historical average valuations, the market would have to drop by a third. But it hasn't happened. And my sense is it isn't going to happen. Everybody knows the market is overvalued. They've known it's been overvalued for the past three decades, and yet stock prices remain elevated. I think we live in a world where there's just too much capital pursuing too few investment opportunities, and that's why we've ended up with this, what looks like, consistently overvalued stock market.
So do you feel it's still safe to put money in the market?
If you've got a, you know, 1 year or 2 year time horizon, no, of course it's not safe to put money in the stock market. You never know what's going to happen. But if you have a 10-year time horizon, sure. Putting money into the stock market with a globally diversified portfolio, things should work out just fine. But, you know, the caveat I would throw in there is that, one, you know, the ride may be rough, and two, because valuations are so rich, we're probably not going to see returns that match the historical average. Historically, stocks have outpaced inflation by something like 7 percentage points a year. Looking forward, it's probably going to be more like 4 percentage points a year more than inflation. Still better than you're going to get with bonds, but not what we've seen historically.
All right, let's talk about bonds. So where are we in interest rates and inflation, and how will that affect the bond investing?
Go back to the early 1980s, and the 10-year Treasury note was yielding almost 16%. And throughout the past 35 years, interest rates have been gradually trending lower. And all along the way, people have been expecting interest rates to go back up. It hasn't happened. And I think that, you know, when we look at the bond market and we think about what interest rates should be at, the best indicator of where interest rates should be is where they currently are.
That's Jonathan Clements, founder of HumbleDollar.com and a former personal finance columnist for The Wall Street Journal. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
On this Wednesday, August 1st, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, some of our top stories and headlines. Facebook has deleted a coordinated influence operation whose activities appeared to target divisive political issues ahead of the midterms. A federal judge has blocked the release of blueprints for 3D printed guns. On the first day of trial, prosecutors say President Trump's former election campaign chief Paul Manafort lied and placed himself above the law. Mets lose to the Nationals by 3 touchdowns and a field goal. What does it take to surprise your daughter with her dream dress? Working a lot of jobs. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you live this morning from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. A decline of civility in political debate, a nasty tenor of political discourse that was turning off young people. Maybe that sounds like the climate today, but it was actually what was happening in Duluth, Minnesota, more than a decade ago. Jerry Seib, Washington editor at the Wall Street Journal, is here with more. Jerry, what was causing problems in Duluth?
As in so many places, it was basically economic insecurity and anxiety. Duluth, like a lot of the Rust Belt at that time, was going through a downturn. The steel plant had closed. Immigrants had come in. All those things kind of create tensions. And particularly in Duluth, because the city was, you know, nearing what some people thought might be bankruptcy, and things had to be cut, programs had to be curtailed, and that always makes people angry and can set one group of people against another group of people. And so the tension of all that was creating a pretty nasty political environment in which there was, a lot of yelling at people yelling at each other at open meetings and in the city council and that sort of thing. And so some city leaders and area leaders just decided to get together and do something about it and came up with a program that they called the Civility Program, Speak Your Peace, P-E-A-C-E, that was designed to restore civility to public discourse. And, you know, by all accounts, it's worked.
Jerry, what are some of the tenets of that project?
Well, the main product, and it's gotten much broader, and it's turned into an entire almost curriculum that's actually used in some schools. But the main product is simply a 9-point plan that you can print on a wallet card that has basic principles: show respect, apologize, listen, basic tenets for political, but not just political, just genuine human conversation. That's civilized, and everybody in the region, in all the regional governmental bodies, bought into this, and it changed the tenor of the debate. But it's basically less than 10 very simple points that you might have learned in grade school, but that everybody's sort of forgotten lately.
We're speaking with Jerry Seib, Washington editor at the Wall Street Journal. You say that the leaders in Duluth bought in, but was there any pushback at all?
Well, I think there wasn't pushback. What I picked up in talking to you about this was skepticism. People thought, well, this is too simplistic. This can't possibly solve our problem. This is a much more complicated problem. What are a bunch of simple points about having civil conversations really going to do? And I think what happened that was interesting was that the skepticism gave way to kind of a belief that this can actually help. And so I think that, skeptics became believers to a large extent, and that really helped push it along. And I think it's produced some results. If you listen to the current mayor, a woman named Emily Larson, this more civilized discourse actually helped the city resolve a fairly sticky debate recently about whether to pass an ordinance that required companies in the area to give paid sick leave under certain circumstances, which passed, but it was an emotional debate because businesses weren't sure and others thought it was too much government and so forth. But they talked their way through it, and as Mayor Larson said to me, the most important thing about civil conversation isn't so much necessarily talking civilly, and to a large extent, it's listening, and you discover that people don't listen to each other, and when they do listen, better things happen. They find common ground. So it's not just talking nicely; it's actually listening is a key part of the formulation.
So perhaps some people on Capitol Hill should get these little wallet cards. Right?
Well, in Capitol Hill and at political rallies and on cable TV talk shows. I mean, there are a lot of places where I think the ideas I just rattled off are more missing than present right now. And so I think if there's hope here, it's that, maybe the political discourse nationally, which has gotten pretty tough and certainly was rough in 2016, and one has to say in some significant measure because President Trump brought a new kind of insulting style to the debate that's spread wider now. There are a lot of places where I think calming would be better than ramping it up even further. And we're at a point now where public officials are being accosted in restaurants and on the streets, and verbally that is, but it could get worse. And I think a kind of national effort to calm things down might have some benefits as it did in Duluth.
Thanks, Jerry. Jerry Seib, Washington editor at the Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, all a hungry Michigan family was looking for was a pizza, but they also got an unexpected bonus, an impromptu classical musical concert. Now, Fox News says the 18-year-old pizza delivery man is going viral after wowing his customers with his piano skills. Bryce Dudall was delivering a Hungry Howie's pepperoni pizza to the Varchetti family outside Detroit last week when he noticed their piano and asked if he could look at it. The Varchettis invited the recent high school graduate into their home to see the baby grand, which he then asked if he could play. And according to the Washington Post, Dudall, who says he's self-taught, wowed the family by playing the third movement of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata from memory. The family recorded Dudall and shared the video on Facebook, and it sounds like the kid has some chops.
Thank you.
Dudahl's musical abilities were so captivating, even the Varchetti's 10-year-old son and his friend stopped playing video games to listen.
Oh,
I know that's a big deal.
Yeah.
The 90-second clip has been watched nearly 500,000 times.
Self-taught.
I can't even imagine. I didn't know exactly what that was going to sound like, and then I watched the video and listened to that, and I said, how do you self-teach yourself to do that?
That's true.
At only 18 years old.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. I know the beginning of Moonlight Sonata, I was going to say, it's not so hard.
Right.
But then it gets progressive.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't take
the easy route, easy way out there at all.
Wow.
And, you know, Jen, when you get traded in baseball, you often have to pack up and hurriedly trek across the country to join your new team. Other times, you just need to meander to the other side of the stadium. That's what happened to relief pitcher Jake Diekman, who was traded from the Texas Rangers to the Arizona Diamondbacks at the trade deadline yesterday. It just so happened that the Rangers were in Phoenix to play the D-backs, so all Diekman had to do was change locker rooms before last night's game. The Diamondbacks even turned Diekman's journey into an online video, in which he's driven to his new team through the stadium by the D-backs' Bobcat mascot in the club's bullpen cart. Arizona made news when they decided to bring back the bullpen cart to shuttle pitchers to the mound during games this season, a practice that went out of favor in the majors during the 1990s.
I know it's a business, and you know you're not supposed to feel bad when guys get traded, but it hurts.
Oh yeah, you know these guys are human, and they make friends obviously, and they got family they got to worry about. You know, they're not going to see their family as much, or they got to shuttle them to different cities and stuff like that.
And I'm sure a lot of them were on pins and needles over the last
few
days.
Meanwhile, my New York Mets made zero trades, and they lost 25-5 or some ridiculous thing last night.
I was going to also give my condolences, but that makes it even worse, so I won't say anything.
Yes, I decided to head it off at the pass. I knew it was coming.
Ugh. Terrible performance. Thanks, Mike. It's 13 minutes before the hour. Gordon Deal with some time off. Jennifer Kishinka, Rasa K sitting in. Well, if your daughter plays soccer, take note. Women's brains appear to be more affected by heading a soccer ball than men's are. Researchers at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York used brain scans to show distinct patterns of damage in the brains of female soccer players compared with male players. And women in general had more of their brain matter affected. That doesn't necessarily translate into symptoms. None of the women in the study had any more symptoms than the men did, but it may help explain why other studies have shown that female soccer players are more likely to report symptoms of concussion than male players are. The team studied 49 men and 49 women who all played in amateur soccer leagues. The women who headed more often had 8 brain regions that showed damage. Men had 3. It's unclear why women's brains showed more damage, but researchers have pointed out that women have smaller necks than men, which could cause the head to move differently, perhaps shaking and damaging the brain in different ways. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Rasa K is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Jen, on the first day of his criminal trial, prosecutors told jurors Donald Trump's former election campaign chief lied and placed himself above the law. They say Paul Manafort tried to hide tens of millions of dollars of income in 30 foreign bank accounts across 3 different countries. He faces 18 counts, including bank fraud. President Trump was in Tampa, Florida last night to stump for Republican gubernatorial candidate Congressman Ron DeSantis. He used the occasion to call for stricter voter ID requirements.
The only time you don't need it, in many cases, is when you want to vote for a president, when you want to vote for a senator, when you want to vote for a governor or a congressman. It's crazy.
Florida's primaries in 4 weeks. Transportation officials say the Aeromexico pilots tried to abort takeoff in the face of advancing bad weather in Durango, Mexico, but they were too late and made an emergency landing in a field instead. Witnesses say they saw an explosion when the plane went down, but while 85 people suffered injuries, some serious, everyone survived. They're now calling it the Mendocino Complex, a 75,000-acre inferno formed by the ranch and river fires merging. It's prompted mandatory evacuations in Mendocino and Lake counties in Northern California. 44,000 residents under evacuation orders and close to 20,000 homes are in the fire zones. Just a day after the CBS board let Les Moonves stay on as CEO despite sexual misconduct allegations, Deadline Hollywood reports he and other executives there are accused of destroying evidence in the company's increasingly bitter battle with National Amusements for corporate control. A heavily redacted filing in Delaware accuses the CBS execs of using self-destructing messaging app TigerText to communicate and systematically delete highly relevant documents. Graphic video from LAPD body cams was released yesterday of a frantic police encounter with a violent hostage taker that resulted in the hostage's death. Police Chief Michael Moore says Guillermo Perez gave officers no choice.
Perez began to cut the innocent bystander's throat with a knife. That's when three officers shot at Perez to stop his actions and prevent him from killing the hostage. Perez was shot and killed. Tragically, the woman was also struck twice by gunfire, and she later died at a hospital.
It's the second police shooting of an unarmed bystander or hostage in L.A. in just 6 weeks. Police in Sweden have launched a manhunt after thieves swiped some of the country's crown jewels from a cathedral and escaped by speedboat. Two priceless crowns and an orb belonging to a 17th century king and queen were heisted Tuesday during a church luncheon in the lakeside town of Strängnäs. Witnesses say they saw the two men running from the cathedral to a boat and haven't seen them since.
Sounds like one of those movies, like Mission Impossible or something.
Very much, with great scenery.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People are getting ideas for movies. Thanks, Rossick. How far would you go to make your kid happy? One Pittsburgh dad certainly put himself out there to get his 14-year-old daughter the dress of her dreams. In recent days, footage of Nevaeh Smith's ecstatic reaction to her dad's special gift has gone viral, with over 12 million views pouring in for the minute-long clip on Facebook. According to ABC, the teen was delighted to find the perfect look for the Ringgold Middle School in Mungalehia, Pennsylvania dance back in June, but fretted over the nearly $200 price tag. But her dad, Ricky, wasn't quite as delighted. The 36-year-old, who juggles shifts at McDonald's, Popeyes, and a Circle K convenience store, made no promises at the time, but was privately determined to make it work. Picking up extra shifts during his already hectic 6 to 7 day work week, Smith was able to make the extra money ahead of the big dance and buy the dress for his daughter. He says just seeing the look on her face made all that extra work worth it. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.